Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. When our Lord Jesus Christ called Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him, as we heard last Sunday, he was at the same time calling Matthew to leave behind his tax booth. That is to say, when Christ Jesus calls a sinner to repent, he's calling him both to turn toward him in faith, to be his Lord, but then also at the same time to turn away from every and all other lords. For, as Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve or follow two masters. Today the question is before us, who is your master? Whom do you serve? God or another, namely money? Now recall that money is in and of itself simply another gift of God, part of that daily bread he richly and daily provides for us, as he provides all that we need to support this body and life. We are given money by God, and with that money we use that money to purchase all those things we need. Food and drink, clothing, shoes, house and home, wife, children are provided for, land, animals. All that we have, more or less, comes because we have money. Money in and of itself is not, strictly speaking, the root of all evil. Rather, the scriptures tell us that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Loving money leads one away from the one true Lord and Master Jesus. And so, as the great Reformation hymn teaches us, we should be ready to depart with our life, our goods, fame, child, even wife. For though these all be gone, the enemy has nothing won, the kingdom ours remaineth. Matthew did this when he rose and he followed Jesus. Many, however, can't do this. A little bit later on in the Gospels, we hear of a rich young ruler who could not do this. When Jesus called him, much like he called Matthew, to sell all that he possessed to give it to the poor and come follow him, the rich young man did not do what Matthew did. Instead, he went away from Jesus, sorrowful, for he had a great number of possessions. He couldn't do it, even though Jesus had promised him with certainty treasure in heaven. His heart was set on treasures on earth. He loved money, and that love of money was the root of the worst kind of evil, rejecting Christ. Jesus was right. He, the rich young ruler, could not serve two masters, for in loving his money, he hated God. Again, the question's before us. Who is your master? Whom do you follow? Whom do you serve? Matthew proved that Christ was his master and Lord when he followed after him and he left behind the pursuit of all earthly prosperity. The rich young ruler, on the other hand, proved who his master was by his deeds when he turned away from Jesus back to his possessions. Consider your works, your deeds, what you follow after. Who do you serve? Who's your master? The last time you knelt, was it before God in confession and prayer? Or was it to pick up a dollar that you found on the sidewalk? Which inspires greater regret? Forgetting your purse or wallet at home? Or forgetting to read the Bible? Are you more likely to share the glories of that new restaurant in town with your neighbor than the glories of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ? Do you make time to come to church to receive Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, just like you make sure to find time to go to the grocery store to get milk and bread? Or we can just look at the numbers in black and white. What does your bank statement say? Do you spend your money largely on yourself, Or do you give generously, both to God and to your neighbor? Do you heed Paul's admonition in our epistle lesson today that the one who is taught the word should share all good things with the one who teaches? That as you have opportunity, you should do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in like manner, where your treasure goes, there's the master that you're following. Most of us gathered here this morning, if not every single last one of us, we have succumbed to serving another master, money. This perhaps is the most common, most pervasive temptation and sin in our culture today, and one that we often turn a blind eye to. It's much easier to point out the violations of the sixth commandment in our lustful and sinful and perverted society. How quickly we can point to the violations of the fifth commandment as we consider all the violence found in our media and pop culture, the way that different political groups and cultural groups hurt and harm one another, and certainly the wanton murdering of the unborn. We can point to how the eighth commandment is broken, the gossip and slander that is so easily carried out in our social media age. And don't get me wrong, these are all grave sins, and they should not be tolerated or promoted even for a moment. But what about greed? What about the love of money? What about the unwillingness to part even with a portion of what you possess? That's a sin that's enshrined in almost every American heart. Yes, oftentimes ours as well. As we confess Christ to be Lord, and yet our money might testify something else. We should heed these words of the Lord Jesus today. He speaks them to us. This scripture is written for our instruction. This preaching is for us, for we are his disciples. Our Lord Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount in these words in particular, not for the unbeliever. The unbeliever has no illusions about serving two masters. They don't follow God. Money is their Lord. They love it. They hate God. They're devoted to it, and they despise God. And they have no illusions otherwise. But these words preached by our Lord Jesus are for you, dear Christian. You who have been called by Jesus to follow him as a disciple, who have been baptized and believe in him, who come to the altar to eat and drink with your Savior, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, who just confessed your sins and were absolved of every last one of them, who confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. These words are for you, because the temptation is there to worry about your money, about your loans, your debt, worry about the rising cost of food and gas and insurance, who worry about the decisions being made in Washington, who even worry about what's happening here, lowering church attendance, declining offerings, who in worrying do not trust in God above all things. Yes, it's to us, to you, to we who are disciples of Jesus and yet tempted to serve money indeed, that Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And that little connecting word, one word that we often read past very quickly, is crucial to this teaching of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, that is, on account of this, because of this, as a result of this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. You see, Jesus would have us recognize that the fact of one results in the fact of another. Because you cannot serve two masters, you therefore should not be anxious. Why? Because the master that you would serve next to God, that is in place of God, money, it's a cruel and demanding master. The worship it demands is not like the worship demanded by God. The worship demanded by money is not faith. It's worry. It's anxiety. And as you know, if you've ever worshipped money before, whether you've realized it or not, That worship is never satisfied. Seek money first and the righteousness that comes from earthly wealth, and in the end, all these things will be taken away from you. You know this in the world around you. Just think about how often lottery winners end up in a worse state following their financial windfall than before. Or how many professional athletes end up bankrupt within a few years after retirement, despite making millions. Or how many corporate executives who make far more money in a single year than most people make in their entire lifetime are arrested for fraud, trying to get even more money than their substantial salaries. Well, just think about yourself. While you are anxious about your food and your clothing, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you'll put on, when even the birds of the air and the lilies of the field are provided for, cared for, fed, nourished, clothed, without a single thought or worry or passing anxiety on their part. Just think about how being anxious cannot add a single hour to your span of life. And in fact, secular research tells us excessive anxiety can shorten your life. To seek money first will end with even what you have being taken away, even your very life and soul. But you can't serve both. You can't serve God and money. And therefore, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Stop worrying. Stop giving money your worries and anxieties. It's not your master. Money's not in charge of you. It's not your Lord. The one true God is. And He is your Lord and Master, yes. But more than that, He is your Heavenly Father, who has claimed you to be His own beloved child. So does He love you that He placed His very name upon you in holy baptism, claiming you to be His own. You are His. To you, He is no cruel and demanding master, not at all, but a gracious and merciful Lord, a dear and true Father. And the worship that He wants from you is not worry, but faith. Trust that you would open your hand and open your heart and simply receive all that He gives freely by grace and grace alone, blessings of both body and soul without any concern about how those blessings might be repaid. Faith indeed is the highest and best worship of God, to believe that everything He does for you, He does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. And what has this gracious and merciful Master, your Father, done for you? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" God has done everything for you. He's held nothing back from you. The Heavenly Father gave His only begotten Son to take on your human flesh and blood. The Son gave His very life, His very body and blood, broken and shed on the cross to pay the price of your sins. The Holy Spirit daily and richly gives you grace and the forgiveness of all your sins and the sins of all believers here in this Christian church through the Word and sacraments. If God is this generous, this gracious, this loving, this abundant toward you, sparing nothing, but even giving Himself up to death on the cross for you, then why would you ever want to serve money as a master in order to gain things like clothing, food, or drink? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all things, and He will provide all those things you need. And therefore, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Stop being afraid. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And you don't need to worry about today either, even though, yes, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. For daily and richly does your Heavenly Father provide for your needs of body and soul. Today, every day, you have a generous Heavenly Father. Therefore, take heart, be glad, rejoice, be at peace. You are free in Christ, free from the sins of worry and anxiety, free from sinful service and worship to money and mammon, free to love, to help, and to support your neighbors in their needs. For if you know by faith that your Heavenly Father will provide clothing, food, shelter, and all the rest to you day by day, then you can use what you have been given to give, to help, and to support those who are lacking such things, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the lonely. If God graciously bestows his word upon you for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, then you can in turn share all good things with those who teach you. If God daily and richly provides for all of your needs, then you can do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" You eat the body of Jesus, crucified for your sins, given for you. You drink the blood of Jesus, poured out on the cross for the remission of all your sins. You wear the robe of his righteousness that covers all your sins, given to you in holy baptism, the wedding garment of joy that he provides for you by grace alone. Don't be anxious about earthly food and clothing, for God has abundantly provided you with the feast and the robes of heaven itself. And again, as Paul reminds us, if God has provided that which is eternal and lasting, the greater gifts, he will certainly provide for you the lesser gifts, those temporal foods, those temporal clothes, those temporal needs, which, yes, he is well aware that you require. Again, Jesus could not be clearer as he preaches to us today. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about the past. All your sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ who died for you. Do not be anxious about the present, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And do not be anxious about the future, for Christ is coming soon to take you to himself, that where he is, you may be also, to eat and drink at the heavenly banquet, clothed in the white robe of his righteousness, dwelling forever in the place that he is preparing for you. Do not be anxious. You are a beloved child of God. Indeed, there are only two lords in this world, both of whom demand your loyalty, your unwavering allegiance. But only one of those lords is loyal to you with his unwavering allegiance. He remains faithful. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is more devoted to you than anyone on heaven, in heaven or on earth could be. So devoted that he suffered and died that you would be his own eternally. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow or today or any day. For tomorrow, today, and forever, you belong to Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. Thanks be to God for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.